Okay, thanks everyone for coming. The weekly shiur for Maseches Brachos is sponsored by David and Paula Baumzer and OMO Construction. This week we are learning Daf Yud Aleph in Maseches Brachos. It is a jam-packed, the past few Daf have been jam-packed with words. This Daf is jam-packed with important, very important fundamentals and yesodos and shas. And halacha, which we are going to hopefully touch upon all of them. But we are starting on Daf Yud Amid Beis on the bottom. Not the bottom, it's more like 15 or 20 lines from the bottom. 18 word letter. Yeah, so you can all take the next 10 seconds to count the number 18 lines from the bottom. The first word on the line is Yossi. And it starts off on the previous line. The Amar of Yosef Archeinu Mishum Elazar Ben Yaakov Al Yamud Adam B'makom Gavoha V'Yispalel Ela B'makom Namuch V'Yispalel. One should not daven standing up on a high platform, rather in a low location. Shne'amar Mimamakim Kirasicha Hashem, as the pasuk says in Tehillim that we call out to Hashem from the depths. Tana Mihachi, a supporting Brisa, Lo Yamud Adam Lo Gavi Kise, Lo Gavi Shrafraf, Lo Makum Gavoa V'Yispalel. You shouldn't stand on a chair or on a bench or on a high platform in daven. Ela Makum Namach V'Yispalel. Levisha Ein Gavhus Lepnei Hamakum. It's inappropriate to be arrogant and raise yourself in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shinamar Mimamakim Kurasicha Hashem. That same pasuk. Uksiv Tfila La Ani Kiyatov. That our Tfila should be like an Ani who's lowering himself, not like someone who's trying to raise themselves up. Mishnah Berurah says that's why the minhag is in some shuls. I feel like I've rarely ever seen this, but some shuls have apparently like an indentation where the shliach tzibur stands, so the shliach tzibur should literally be in the lowest location possible. My first thought is, whenever I go up to daven, I'm literally going up onto a bima. So my first thought is, how is that not a clear? That can't be a problem, because everyone would obviously know that that's a complete stira against this gemara by not going up. So how is that not a problem? So the Shulchan Aruch gives a few caveats to this halacha and Simen Sadi. The Shulchan Aruch says, firstly, that if the bima is a makom dalit al dalit, if it's four tefachim by four tefachim, that's considered a reshus b'fnei atzmo, so that may help for some shuls. Also, the Shulchan Aruch says if there are mechitzos, the Aruch HaShulchan says you don't have to have four mechitzos, even just like having two mechitzos would also make it its own reshus. And then thirdly, Shulchan Aruch says if the goal is that the shliach tzibur could be heard, and everyone can have better kavana by hearing the shliach tzibur, then it would be permitted. So as long as not on like a wobbly chair where you can't focus on your davening, so being on a bima would not be a problem of davening on a high platform.
We do see it in the avas, their floor is slanted.
So oh, there you go.
The tzibur standing in the lowest spot.
Yeah, I knew there had to be shows to do it. I think I've never seen it, yeah, but apparently I have. I just didn't know.
The stadium setting was made.
Right. It wasn't that purpose.
Yeah. Okay. There were UTSA people. Okay, but they were also mekayim this at the same time. The Amar of Yosef Bar Chanina Mishem Elazar Ben Yaakov Hamispalel Tzarech Sheyachave Nisraglav Shneamar V'Ragleihem Regel Yeshara. That one should daven with their feet together, as the pasuk in Yecheskel describes the malachim, the angels are having feet together. And the Marsha adds an additional level of interpretation that it also should be that we're that like we are an eved bifnei rabbo, as if like our feet are tied up and we're begging from our master. We put our hands on top of the other like we're pleading that it should be a way of inculcating within ourselves that feeling of lowering ourselves before Hashem and realizing that Hashem is really the one who provides everything for us. And where it continues, Rabbi Yosef Baruch Nima Shalaz Ben Yaakov, Mai Dechsev Lo Sochlu Al Hadam. What does the pasuk mean when it says "don't eat on the blood"? So Gemara in Sanhedrin lists a whole slew, like four or so different drushos of what this pasuk means. And here, in the middle of Agata, Maseches Brachos, it adds an additional explanation of that pasuk: that lo sochlu kodem shetispalalu al dibchem. Don't eat before you daven over your blood, before you daven for Hashem for your life. If you eat and drink and then you daven, Hashem says about you that you have thrown me behind your back, that you're arrogant. You've been arrogant to take care of yourself before you daven to Hashem. After he took care of himself, then he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and was mekabel malchus shamayim. It's very inappropriate. It's a lot of gaiva and arrogance for one to eat before davening and putting their needs before really davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rothberger has a very thorough, highly recommended podcast on going through the details. We'll mention some of the Rashi Prakim about eating before davening. There is a machlokas, so this is an Isser de Oraisa or an Isser de Rabbanan. about whether you should eat before, is the Isser of eating before davening an Isser d'Oraisa or an Isser d'Rabbanan? But the first question is, what is the mitzvah of davening? Is the mitzvah of davening even a d'Oraisa every single day to daven Shachris? Is that actually a d'Oraisa? So the Ramban says no. The Ramban says the tefillah d'Oraisa is only be'ez tzara. At a really dire situation, then it's an achiyah mid'Oraisa to daven. But every single day to go to shul and daven Shachris is only mid'Rabbanan. So if you're the Ramban and you say davening itself is d'Rabbanan, so it can't be that, oh, the Isser to eat is d'Oraisa, so you shouldn't eat d'Oraisa because of the tefillah d'Rabbanan you're going to daven later? That doesn't make any sense. The Torah is prohibiting something that the Rabbanan are going to be attacking later. But if you're the Rambam says, no, the chimer to daven is d'Oraisa every single day. So now there's much to talk about is maybe the Isser to eat before davening also d'Oraisa. After all, we have a pasuk of Lo Sochlu Al Hadam. So the Ra'av, here Mesechas Brachos, and the Sefer HaChinuch perhaps also holds it's a din d'Oraisa. But most say it's only a din d'Rabbanan. The Rabbeinu Yonah in the back says it's an asmachta. Right? There's a reason why in Mesechas Sanhedrin they have a whole slew of drashos from this pasuk of Osochel Adam, which are d'Oraisa, and there's one more in Mesechas Brachos in Agarta. That's clearly not going to be an actual d'Oraisa. But as you said, the reason why, so there's one Isser in general to eat before doing a mitzvah, so you don't eat before Bedikas Chametz or Hadlakas Neros on Chanukah. We owe all these mitzvahs, we don't eat before doing a mitzvah because you may get caught up. But by davening, there's an additional aspect of gaiva. As we said, it's arrogant, it's haughtiness for you to take care of your needs before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because of that, the Rush quotes from the Avi Ezri, the Rav Yah, that to drink water is totally fine. Because it's not arrogant to drink water. I'm going to have a cup of water before I go daven. That's not like I'm taking care of my needs. It's just a cup of water. The Mishnah Berurah takes it more practically to our days and says, a cup of coffee is equivalent of a cup of water. A cup of coffee is okay also. The Mishnah Berurah does not recommend putting in sugar and milk into that coffee. But Shlomo Zalman says, no, for us today, having sugar and milk in your coffee is the equivalent to just a regular cup of coffee. That's also not considered arrogant. One probably should not put in whipped cream and syrup and all the other fancy to go to Starbucks and buy a fancy drink. Probably would not be appropriate. That's probably some gaiva there. But to have us a cup of coffee with milk and sugar would be presumably acceptable. Also interesting, is there ever a time, we just said, if you want to, you can have a cup of coffee or a cup of water before davening. Is there ever a day on the calendar where it's actually recommended that perhaps one should dafka drink water before they go to shul? So Rav Schechter suggested, I heard that he said, that on Rosh Hashanah morning, you should drink a cup of water before shul. Why Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah, there's an Isser to fast on Rosh Hashanah, which means that you shouldn't go till Chatzos through the morning without having eaten the whole morning. Problem is, shul is very long. So some shuls will have a kiddush before Tkiyas Shofar, but some shuls, dafka don't have a kiddush before Tkiyas Shofar. So what are you supposed to do? So he suggested, perhaps, just make sure you drink a cup of water, a cup of coffee, or tea also, I should have said tea also, before Shachris. This way you don't violate eating before a mitzvah or eating before davening, but you get out of that problem of going the whole morning Rosh Hashanah with fasting without eating. That's an interesting time when it's preferred, perhaps, to actually take a drink before davening. The Gemara continues quoting from the Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Ad Gimel shows our Mishnah had said Vatazman for Kriyashma in the morning. When's the latest one can say Kriyashma in the morning? So until 3 hours. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Yeshua. That's how we paskin. And just to clarify, until 3 hours means through 3 hours into the day. That's when the Sovzman Kriyashma Shel Shachris is. Mishnah then said Hakormikan Ve'elach Lo Hifsid. If you recite Shema after this man. Lo hifsid, you didn't lose out. Amar avchis, amar meukva, belvad shelo yomar yotzeror. Yeah, you can say kriyashma later. You don't get the mitzvah of man kriyashma, kriyashma bezmana. But you shouldn't say the birchos kriyashma. You shouldn't say the bracha of yotzeror. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? Meisvei hakramikan ve'elach lo hifsid ka adam shelu kori batorah aval mevarech hushtam lefanaha v'achas lachareha. That you dafka, you do make the brachos before and after kriyashma. You do say birchos kriyashma. That's a question. Amar avchista tiyufta de avchista tiyufta. It must be we reject Rav Chista who said don't say Birchos Kriyashma because his Braisa specifically says that you do say Birchos Kriyashma. Another version, Ika da Amri, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Ukva, my lo hifsid, shalo hifsid brachos. In this version, Rav Chista actually says that yeah, you don't lose out on the brachos, you should say Birchos Kriyashma. And so now that Braisa that we quoted isn't a question, it's going to be a support. Hayan Amihachi, a supporting Braisa, Am Kermikan ve'elach lo hifsid, ka Adam shekori batorah, Am avarechu shtaim lefana ve'achas lachareha, that we see that you, even when you say Kriyashma after this man, you still make the Birchos Kriyashma before and after. Amar of Mani, Gadol HaKorei Kriyashma Be'onasa, Yoser Meha Oseik Batorah. One who says Kriyashma at its appropriate time, at this man, is even greater than one who's Oseik Batorah, who's learning Torah. How do you know this? From our Mishnah, Midiktani HaKorei Mekan Ve'elech Lo Hifzid Ka'adam HaKorei Batorah. Our Mishnah said, if you say Kriyashma after this man, that's the equivalent of one who learned Torah. So if Kriyashma after this man is like the equivalent of Torah, so imagine Kriyashma bismana, Meklau de Korei Ve'onasa, Adif, the Kriyashma at its appropriate time must be even greater than Oseik B'Torah. The Mishnah, Beishamai Omrim, Be'erev Kol Adam, Yatev Ve'yikre, Ubaboker Yamud. Beishamai said that there's a particular position one needs to be in when they say Kriyashma, that at night you should lie down when you say Kriyashma, in the morning when you say Kriyashma you should be standing up. Shenemar Ubeshachtacha Uvkumecha. The pasuk says when you're laying down and when you are up, that's teaching us the position one should be in when they say Kriyashma. You can say Kriyashma in whatever position you want. Shenemar Ubalechtecha Baderech. The pasuk says Kedarko. Baderech is Kedarko. However, whichever position you want to be in, even if you're on the road, you have to lie down specifically. So why does the pasuk say when you're laying down, when you're getting up? No, not but the position. That's the teaching us the timing. You say Kriyashma at night, which is the time when people are laying down, and you say Kriyashma during the day, which is the time when people are standing up. The Mishnah has a story. Amar Bitarfon, Ani Hayisi Ba Baderech, Vihitesi Likros Kedivre Beis Shammai. I was on the road and I lay down at night to say Kriyashma like the Shita of Beis Shammai, Visakanti Ba'atzmi. And it was dangerous. Pnei Alistim, that there were bandits who attacked me. Amru Lo Kedai Hayisa Lacho Ba'atmacha, Sha'avarta Al Divre Beis Hillel. And they said, then the Chachamim said to Rabbi Tarfon, it's appropriate that you put yourself in danger because you violated the Shita of Divre Beis Hillel. You violated the Shita of Beis Hillel. Which is interesting because the Gevin Ashas points out to Tosfos and Yavamos, Rabbi Tarfon was actually Mitalmide Beis Shammai. So even the Talmidim of Beis Shammai are being told, hey, you really shouldn't follow like the Shita of Beis Shammai, you should really follow the Shita of Beis Hillel, which is a larger discussion for those of us who were in Yavamos and Daf HaShavua, that the whole the conversation of whether Beis Shammai asu kedivrayim or lo asu kedivrayim. Did Beis Shammai actually act in accordance of their halachic opinions, or do they themselves also realize, we don't paskin like us, we're going to act like Beis Hillel as well. Now, top of Yid Aleph, Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Bishlama Beis Hillel, Kama Farshi Tamayhu, Betamid Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel is great, because they explain their Shita, the Pasuk that supports their Shita, and they explain what they do with Beis Shammai's Pasuk, how they explain, Beshach Pachad Kulmecha isn't referring to the position, it's referring to the time. Ela Beis Shammai, my time alo amri ki Beis Hillel. How do Beis Shammai explain why they don't explain the Pasuk like Beis Hillel? So Amilacha Beis Shammai, Im Kain, Nema Krabah Boker, Uba Erev. If that's what the pasuk means, that b'shapacha b'kumecha is referring to the time, then it should just say ba'boker ba'erev, at morning and at night. Just tell me the times. My b'shapacha b'kumecha. Why does it say it in the formulation of laying down and getting up? B'shas shchiva shchiva mamish u'b'shas kima mamish. Must be at night when you say kriyashma. You should literally be lying down. In the morning, you should literally be kima. You should be standing up. What does Beis Shammai learn from Lech Techa Baderech? Beis Hillel says from Lech Techa Baderech teaches me Kedarko. You could be in any position. What does Beis Shammai learn from that pasuk? So this is where things get interesting. That's needed for what we teach in the following braisa. B'shif Techa B'Veisecha Prat Le'Oseik B'Mitzvah. The Peshit Chavisecha is to exclude that one is not chayef to recite Kriyashma if they are oseik b'mitzvah, if they're involved in a mitzvah, u'balatecha baderech prat l'chasan, and walking on the road teaches that you're excluding a chasan who also is involved somewhat in a mitzvah, he's going to be exempt from Kriyashma. This is the rule throughout Shas of oseik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. Mikan amru bes anat, they said, hakunet es ha-besula pater, one who marries a besula is pater from a setting Kriyashma, but it's almana chayiv, but if you marry an almana, a widow, you're going to be chayiv in Kriyashma. So first, why does the Gemara have to have two different drashos of prat la'osek b'mitzvah, one who does a mitzvah is pater from Kriyashma, and prat la'chasan, that a chasan is also exempt from Kriyashma? Isn't the chasan just an example of someone who's osek b'mitzvah? So Rashi explains Now, first of all, what's the mitzvah of the chasan? The mitzvah of the chasan isn't the mitzvah to get married. There may not be a mitzvah to get married. It's referring to the mitzvah of pur revu. And when it says that the chasan is exempt from kriyashma, it's not just because he's doing a mitzvah, it's because of the machshava, that he's stressed out about the first night he's going to spend with his kala. It's mentally consuming, and therefore he's not capable of reciting kriyashma. That's an additional drasha from the pasuk. The first part says, osek b'mitzvah, one who's actively doing a mitzvah. The chasan isn't actively doing a mitzvah, it's just throughout the day of his chasana, he's mentally preoccupied, and the machshava alone, he's not actively doing it, but the thought about of the stress of the mitzvah is the part that's going to exempt him from kriyashma. That's why it says specifically a basula, who is also inexperienced like him, is also, there's going to be that stress there. But he's marrying an almana who's been married before and who's been through this before, he's not going to be as stressed, and therefore he's going to be chayiv in kriyashma. So my mashma, how do you make this drasha that b'shutcha b'veisacha and atcha b'darech are excluding someone who's doing a mitzvah? So Amar Papa ki derech. You're only chayav for in saying kriyashma like the person who's on the derech. Ma derech rishus, just like someone who's on the road, they're out on the derech, they're presumably out there for divrei rishus, they're doing their own things, they're not involved in a mitzvah. You're on the road because you're going on vacation. So that's when you're chayav in mitzvah, in kriyashma. Af kol rishus, therefore only when you're doing your own things you're going to be chayav in kriyashma. But if you're involved in a mitzvah, you're going to be pater from kriyashma. What do you mean? Who says that the road is only used for divrei rishus? People use roads to go to mitzvos as well. Maybe the pasuk says, when you're on the road, that you're going to be chayav to say kriyashma, and maybe it's referring to a guy who's on the road who is involved in a mitzvah. He's going to do a mitzvah, and still you're chayav in kriyashma, even when you're involved in a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, no. Im kein lichto rachmana besheves ubeleches. Pasuk could have just said that b'sheves when you're sitting, b'leches, and when you're going. My b'shivticha u'b'lechticha, b'sheves didach, u'b'leches didach, hu d'mechayeves. You're only chayav when it's sheves didach, b'leches didach, when it's for your own personal needs. That's when you're going to be chayav in kriyashma. Had a mitzvah, patirat, but if you're involved in a mitzvah, you're going to be pater from kriyashma, because osik b'mitzvah, pater mina mitzvah. If so, that if you're involved in the mitzvah, you're pater, so then not only if you're marrying a basula, even if you marry an almana, a widow, you should also be pater from kriyashma. No, high tarid, bahai, low tarid. As we said, you're only worried and you're mentally preoccupied when you're marrying an almana, when you're marrying a basula, but if you're marrying an almana who's been married before, you are not going to be tarid. If it's all about a matter of, oh, you're mentally stressed and you're preoccupied, and that's why you're going to be putter from kriyashma, you know who else is mentally stressed? Someone who just lost a business dealing. Someone whose boat is sinking in the ocean. He's also very stressed. Why isn't he also going to be putter from kriyashma? And if you'll say, yeah, that guy is also putter from kriyashma, but that's not true. Why did they say that an avel chayuv b'chol ha-mitzvos ha-amuros b'torah? And an avel, who's definitely mentally stressed, is chayav in all mitzvahs in the Torah. There's one exception, chutzpin ha-tfilin. He's going to be pater from tefillin on the first day. Shne'amar, shaharei ne'mar bahem pe'er. That's an exception, because the pasuk refers to tefillin as a pe'er. Shne'amar pe'ercha chavosh alecha. And the tefillin is referred to as a pe'er, which is glory. So Rashi says that if they're going to have afer, they're going to have ashes on their head, it's inappropriate to have a pe'er of tefillin on top of the afer. So tefillin is an exception. But generally speaking, an avel is mentally preoccupied, he's very stressed and he's worried, and still he's chayav in all mitzvos except for tefillin. So presumably also, someone whose boat is sinking is also going to be chayav in all mitzvot, including kriyashma. So the question stands, why is it, if it's all about tirda, a chasan is so worried, that's why he's pater from kriyashma, so why is an avel chayav, and why is the person whose boat is sinking chayav? So Gemara explains, hasam tarid tirda de mitzvah, hacha tarid tirda de rishus. There's a big difference, because someone who's a chasan, he's worried about a mitzvah. But someone whose boat is sinking, and even an avel, who's worried during his avelus, is a tirda derishus. Not a mitzvah to be worried, the way that Rashi puts it in Maseches Sukkah, that avelus, yes, there's a mitzvah of nihugei avelus. You have to do certain actions. The Torah spells out what you should do as an avel, that you should not wear shoes and rechitza sicha, etc. All those things are the rules that you have to keep, but the emotions, those are not required. That's considered a divrei rishus. Rav Soloveitchik has a different approach where he suggests that the nihugei avelos, the actions that Chazal tell us to do, tells one to do if they're in avelos, are meant to bring out those emotions, that those emotions are actually part of the mitzvah, but the Rashi and Sukkah seems to explain differently. Then the next line, the Bach takes out the next line, and then the following line of Beis Hillel, Amri Memela Shmamina Da'afilu Baderech Nami Kari. Right, so Beis Hillel already used the pasuk of Balatacha Baderech to teach me that you can be in any position. So how does he learn out that Osif Mitzvah Patamina Mitzvah from Balatacha Baderech? So the answer is he can learn both because this the pshat reading of the pasuk of Balatacha Baderech Memela, it just teaches me by default that you can be in any position. So he still has that pasuk available to teach me Osik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. So it's a very big topic of Osik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. Comes up in here, comes up in Maseches Sukkah. But the main question that the Rishonim deal with about Osik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah is the following. Let's think about it. We're all wearing tzitzis. So why aren't we pater from learning Torah? Why can't we just close our gemaras and go home? Because we're Osik b'mitzvah, we're involved in the mitzvah wearing tzitzis. So I don't have to give tzedakah, I don't have to daven, I don't have to learn. Why isn't that fit into the rule of Osik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah? So we'll get, so there's a machlokes between Tosfos and the Ran. One of them's gonna say, like you. Tosfos say, the reason why is because the rule, osik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah, doesn't apply when I can easily do both. If it's efshar l'kayim shneyem, I can easily wear tzitzis and learn maseches brachos daf yad aleph, so you're not gonna be pater. Only pater min ha-mitzvah, if it's efshar l'kayim shneyem, if you can't do both mitzvos. That's Tosfos. But the Ran says, no, the Ran says that even if you could in theory do both, you don't have to. Osik b'mitzvah is still pater min ha-mitzvah even when you could do both. So how does the Ran answer our question? If I could wear tzitzis and do Torah, so why isn't that fit into the rule of osik b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah? So he answers like Erez says, that the Ran says, you're not osik b'mitzvah by wearing a tzitzis on your beged. You're not osik b'mitzvah because you have a mezuzah on your door. Osik means that you're actively involved. And the rule is only if you're osik b'mitzvah are you pater min ha-mitzvah, not mekayim mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah. Not just because you happen to be mekayim mitzvah, you're fulfilling a mitzvah by wearing tzitzis. It has to be that you're osik, you're actively involved, and then we'll say your pater min ha-mitzvah does not going to apply to this passively wearing tzitzis. There's a lot of different parts of the sugya that people talk about. For example, does it mean? Let's say I'm osik mitzvah, but I'm pater from the other mitzvah, but I do it anyway. So is Ayotze that other mitzvah? Or is it usur for me to do the other mitzvah? Or is it just a patur, or just an exemption? There's also a question, if I'm osik in a mitzvah, me derabanan, does that pater me from a mitzvah, me deoraisa? So there's also perhaps, if I'm osik b'talmud Torah, does that pater me from other mitzvahs? It seems from Shas that if you're osik in Talmud Torah, you can't just say, oh, I'm learning Torah today, so therefore I'm not going to do any other mitzvahs. But this rule does not seem to apply to Talmud Torah. Perhaps because the Meir explains the whole idea of learning Torah is to, therefore you can go, right, amanas lasos, in order to go and do mitzvahs. Talmud is mevi lidei maisa. So if the whole goal of learning Torah is so that we can go and do mitzvahs, it would be a little silly to say that, oh, I'm osik in Torah, and therefore I'm going to be pater from whatever mitzvahs are required for me to do. So those are the various different subtopics of Osik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. Okay, the Gemara continues on the two dots. Tana Rabbanan, Beis Hillel Omrim, Omdim Vikorin, Yoshvin Vikorin, Umatin Vikorin, Holchem Bederach Vikorin, Osin Vemalachtan Vikorin. You can be sitting, you can be standing, you can be on the road, you can be at work and say Kriyashma. Again, as Beis Hillel say, Blech Chabaderach, in any position you want, there's no specific sitting or standing. Umaisa Bereshmal Verelazar Ben Azariah. There's a story. So I am misubim b'makom echad, that they were both sitting together. Rabbi Yishmael muta vaz ben Azariah zakuf. Rabbi Yishmael was laying down, vaz ben Azariah was sitting up. Kevin she igiaz man kriyashma, hita Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Yishmael is laying down, the Zman Kriyashma comes, and Rabbi Elazar, who was sitting up, then also lay down to join Rabbi Yishmael. So Hitar Elazar and Zakah Rabbi Yishmael. The second that Elazar got laid down to join Rabbi Yishmael, so they're both laying down. The second that he does that, Rabbi Yishmael pops up in response. So Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yishmael, Yishmael Achi, Emshal Lachal Mashal. Let me explain what just happened with a mashal. L'ma'adavar Dome, Mashal La'echa Sha'omrim Lo Zekancha Megodol. It's like, for example, if someone says, "Oh wow, what a nice, long, beautiful beard you have," and then he responds, "Amar Lahem Yiyek Neged Amashchisim." That now I'm going to go shave it. You guys complimented my beard, and now I'm going to go cut it off. So it's over here. Afkach, ata calls mancha ani zakuf, ata muta. So you were, well, I was sitting up and you were laying down. And then I complimented your beard, so to speak. I lay down to join with you. I was like, oh yeah, you're laying down, that's a good thing to do. And then, akshav kishani hatisi, ata zakafta. The second that I laid down to join you, you popped up in response to, and I was trying to emulate your actions. So why did you immediately stand up when I lay down with you? So Amar Lo, Rabbi Yishmael responded, Ani asisi k'divrei Beis Hillel, v'ata asisa k'divrei Beis Shammai. That my actions were like the shita of Beis Hillel, because it was Man Kriyat Shema at night. So I sat up to do like Beis Hillel, and your action of laying down looked like the shita of Beis Shammai. Below Ode, Ela Shema Yiru HaTalmidim, V'yikpu Halacha L'doros. And not only that, but I was afraid people are going to see and be koveya the halacha like Beis Shammai based on our actions. So my Velo Ode, Gemara wants to understand what exactly was he adding with that second statement. So he was adding the following. V'chi tema Beis Hillel nami es lehu matin. Maybe you'll say, Beis Hillel say you can be in any position. So if someone lays down, are they going against the shita of Beis Hillel? Not necessarily. Beis Hillel don't say you have to do this, you have to do that. Laying down is whatever position you want. So maybe if someone's laying down, Beis Hillel would agree that that's actually totally okay. But no, hani mili demata va'asa meikara. That's only if you were laying down and then this man kriyash ma hit. Aval hacha kevan de adhashta havisa zakuf. The hashda muta, but you were sitting up the whole time. And once this man kriyashma, you specifically went and laid down. That is a completely against the shita of Beis Hillel and Amri Shamina kebe Shammai spirulu. They're going to think that we both hold like the shita of Beis Shammai. Shemayiru atamidim diikbu halacha ledoros. People are going to see and they're going to be koveya the halacha ledoros. So basically, Rabbi Elazar laid down to join Rabbi Yishmael, but at that moment, Rabbi Yishmael popped up because if people see us both laying down at this man kriyashma of nighttime, they're going to think we follow the shita of Beis Shammai, which is, of course, not how we paskin. But now the Gemara talks about what happens if I act like Beis Shammai. Let's say I follow the halacha according to Beis Shammai. Was I yotzei the mitzvah or was I not yotzei the mitzvah? So it's a machlokes. Tanner of Yechezkel, asa k'divrei Beis Shammai, asa k'divrei Beis Hillel, asa. The first opinion is of Yechezkel, if you do either way, you're yotzei. If you act like Beis Shammai, you're yotzei. Act like Beis Hillel, you're yotzei the mitzvah. Either way, Rav Yosef says no. Rav Yosef Amar, asa k'divrei Beis Shammai, lo asa v'lo klum. If you act like the shita Beis Shammai, you are not yotzei whatsoever. How do you know? From the following Mishnah in Maseches Sukkah. Ditznan, Misha haya rosho v'rubo b'sukkah v'shulchano b'soch habayis. Let's say someone is sitting in their sukkah, but their table, and they're eating off their table, the table is located in their house. So they're outside, they're under the schach, they're in a sukkah with their chair, but the table they're eating off of is inside the house. So is that a problem? It's machlokas, b'shamay b'es hillel. B'shamay poslim, u'b'es hillel makshirin. According to b'shamay, you're not yotzei with that sukkah, because shamay nigarach ha'shulchano. You're gonna keep leaning over to your table to try to eat, you're eventually gonna end up inside the house. So you shouldn't eat off a table that's in the house, b'shamay. I say, because if Exerbi the Rabbanon, you may eventually end up yourself in the house. Beis Hillel will say, no, it's totally kosher. So there's a whole story that happened afterwards. Amar Olehem, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Maisa Shaholchu, Zikne Beis Shammai, Vezikne Beis Hillel, Levaker, Esrav Yochanan, Ben Achoranis. The Zikne Beis Shammai and the Zikne Beis Hillel went to go visit Rav Yochanan, Ben Achoranis, and Mitzahuhu, Shahayarosha, Ruba Basukka, Vishalchano, Besokha Bayez. And he had this exact setup where he was sitting in his sukkah, but his table was in the house. Velo Amru Lo Klum. Beis Hillel say to Beis Shammai, don't you guys hold that you can't eat in a sukkah in that way with the sukkah, with you in the sukkah and your table in the house? So why didn't you say anything to Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis, who was violating your halacha? So Amr Lahem, Beis Shammai responded, Misham Raya? What are you talking about? That isn't the end of the story. Afheim Amrulo, they did say to him the following, Im Kain Haisa Noheg, if that's how your yotze, if that's how you do the mitzvah of sukkah, Lo Kiyamta Mitzvah Sukkah Miyamecha, you were never yotze the mitzvah of sukkah ever. So the Gemara wants to bring a parallel. We're talking about, if I do like Beis Shammai and my Yotze. So Gemara takes a step back and says, well, look at it from the perspective of Beis Shammai. We see from the Gemara in Sukkah that if you're Beis Shammai, and when Beis Shammai saw someone act like Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai said, you're not Yotze. So presumably, for us who hold like Beis Hillel, if we someone see an, who acts like Beis Shammai, we also would say, hey, you're not going to be Yotze. So that's a support for Rabbi Yosef, just like Beis Shammai said you're not Yotze if you act like Beis Hillel, so to Beis Hillel, say you're not Yotze if you act like Beis Shammai. So that's the second opinion. The first opinion was, you're Yotze if you act like Beis Shammai. Second opinion is, no, you're not Yotze. Lo asa v'lo klum. And then the third is even more strict. If not going to be Yitzchak Amar, asa k'ribe Beis Shammai, chayev misa. You're chayev misa if you act like the Shita of Beis Shammai. And it said in our Mishnah, Ditnan, Amar Beitarfon, Anayisi Babadarech, Beitesi Likros, Kedivre Beis Shammai, Besakanti Ba'atmi Pnei Alistim, Amar Lo, Kedayisa Lacho Ba'atmika, Shavarta, Adivre Beis Hillel. So according from our Mishnah, our Beitarfon, who lay down on the road to follow the Shita of Beis Shammai, and he got in danger, and the Chachamim said to Beitarfon, that it's appropriate that you got in danger because you violated the Shita of Beis Hillel, so we see perhaps from there that you're Chayav Misa if you act like Beis Shammai. The Gemara now we turn to a Mishnah, which talks about the Birchos Kriyashma. The Mishnah says, B'shachar mevarich shtayim lefaneha, v'achas la'achareha, u'be'arim mevarich shtayim lefaneha, v'shtayim la'achareha. So in the morning when you say Kriyashma, there are two brachos before, that's Yotzer Or and Ava Rabba, and one bracha after, that's Gal Yisrael. And at nighttime, so you have two brachos before, we have Amar Varavim and Avas Olam, and we have two brachos after, that's Emes Ve'emuna and Hashkivenu. Achas Aruka, v'achas Kitzara. So Rashi explains that's referring to the two brachos we say after Kriyashma at night. So one is long, that's Emes Ve'emuna, which is more lengthy, has more topics, and Achas Kitzara is Hashkivenu, which is more concise. Tosfos say Achas Aruka v'Achas Kitzara is going on Emes Ve'emuna. That later on in the Masechta, we're going to discuss how there are different ways of saying the brach of Emes Ve'emuna. There's a longer version and a shorter version, and so Achas Aruka, Achas Kitzara means whether it's the long version of Emes Ve'emuna or whether it's the short version of Emes Ve'emuna. Either way, these are the Berchos Kriyashma. Mishnah concludes, Makom she'amru laharich, eina reshoi lekatzer, lekatzer, eina reshoi laharich. That if it's a bracha which is a longer bracha, you can't shorten the long brachos, and if it's a short bracha, you can't lengthen it. You shouldn't change the way the bracha was meant to be. And lachtom, eina reshoi shalo lachtom, eina reshoi lachtom. So lachtom means if a bracha, all brachos begin with baruch, but some brachos also have a conclusionary baruch. So if we think about the first bracha in Maariv, which is the first bracha of Kriyashma at nighttime, you say, Baruch Atah Hashem Kedem Malach Olam, and you end off, Baruch Atah Hashem Maariv Aravim. There's a bracha, there's a baruch in the beginning, and there's a baruch at the end, and there's a chasima bibaruch. So in the bracha that Chazal Matakin has a lachtom, it ends off with baruch, you can't exclude that baruch. And if it's shalom lachtom, if there's no concluding baruch, as Rashi says, like Berchos Habirus, if you eat an apple, there's no baruch, there's no two baruchs there. So you can't go adding in a chasima, a concluding baruch, if there isn't already one there. So the Gemara asks, "My mevarich, great, you told us how many brachos kriyashma there are, but what are the brachos kriyashma? Starting with the kriyashma in the morning, what are the brachos that we say before kriyashma in the morning? Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Roshia. Now turn to Yud Aleph, Amud Beis. What's the first brachos kriyashma? Yotzer Or Vorech Choshech. Hashem created light and created darkness. The Gemara asks, Lema Yotzer Oru Vore Noga. Maybe we shouldn't say Choshech, because Choshech is a very negative terminology. We don't like using negative terminology. So the Gemara, beginning of Pesach's Pesachim, starts off to referring to the night of Pesach as Or Lar Basar, the night of Pesach, because you want to use more light terminology as opposed to using negative terminology. So why doesn't it say Yotzer Or Vore Noga? Noga means brightness literally, but euphemistically it would refer to the darkness. Maybe we should use that instead of Yotzer Or Vore Choshech. Mari answers, no, Kediksiv Kamrinon. There's a Pasuk we're following here. The Pasuk says Yotzer Or Vore Choshech, so we're going to follow the way the Pasuk was written. Elamayata Ose Shalom Vore Ra Mika Amrinon Kediksiv. Well, look, if you're going to really do that, look at the end of the Pasuk. The end of the Pasuk says Ose Shalom Vore Ra. We don't say that, Kediksiv. Ella Ksiv Ra Vikarin and Hakol. We say Ose Shalom Vore Sakol. Why? Because Lishna Ma'alya. We want to use a more positive terminology. So Hachanami, in the beginning also, it's Or Vore Choshech. We should also say, Lema Noga, Lishna Ma'alya. Why don't we use the word Noga, which is a more positive terminology? Ala Amar Rava, Kedei Lahaskir, Midas Yom Balayla, or Midas Laila Bayom. We specifically want to say, Yotzer Ora Borei Choshech, because during Shachris in the morning, we want to mention the nighttime, and at Ma'ariv at nighttime, we want to mention the daytime. Why? Who cares about mentioning the night during the day and mentioning the day during the night? So the Marsha and Ibn Yonah quote that from Chazal that a heretic is going to come and say that, oh, Hashem is only in charge during the day and not at charge during night, or vice versa. So you want to show we're davening to Hashem in the morning, and this is the same Hashem who's also at charge at night, is also in charge of Choshech, and vice versa. We want to mention Hashem during the day and the night, make sure we're covering all our bases to show that Hashem is the one who rules both daytime and nighttime. So the Gemara asks, well, where do we actually say that actually is fulfilled? Bishma midas laila bayom kedamrinan yotzer orev arei choshech. So I get it. You mentioned the midas laila bayom, because as you said, you say choshech, and that's during the daytime of Shacharis. Alamidas yom balaila heichimesh kachasla. When do you mention the day during the nighttime, during the Mariv, Birchos Kriyishma? Amar Abaye, it's right here. Golel or mepne choshech, bechoshe mepne yor. Mention how Hashem pushes away the light for the darkness, and vice versa. That's when we mention the nighttime during the daytime during the night. What's one Berachos Kriyashma? We're making some progress. That's one of the Berachos Kriyashma in the morning before Shema. What's the other bracha? I remember Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Ahava Rabba. Rechein Oriel Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Padas, Berei, Ahava Rabba. The next bracha, our Berachos Kriyashma, is Ahava Rabba. Tanya Namiachi, a supporting brisa. Ein Omer Ahavas Olam. You don't say Ahavas Olam, an everlasting love. Ella Ahava Rabba, a great love. The Rabbanan Amri Avas Olam. The Rabbanan say, no, you should say Avas Olam. Bechinu Omer, as the Pasuk says, Ba'avas Olam Ahavtich, Alkin Meshachtich Chasid. Hashem loves us with an everlasting love, and we should therefore specifically say Avas Olam. So the Tosfos here, the top Tosfos, points out that since we have some Shitas that say you should say Ava Rabba, and some say you should say Avas Olam, so therefore we split them up. We say Ava Rabba in the morning, we say Avas Olam at nighttime. The Rush says, no, look, the Rabbanan Paskin Avas Olam. We like to pass on like the Rabbanan, so that's why the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Rush, we should actually pass on like the Rabbanan and always say Avas Olam. And the Ramah Paskin like Tosfos, we say Shachris Ava Rabba, and at Maruf we say Avas Olam. So that's the beginning of the discussion of Berachos Kriyashma. There's a discussion about what is the nature of Berachos Kriyashma. Because we have categories of brachos. We have Berachos HaMitzvah, the bracha before you fulfill a mitzvah, like Anatilas Lolov. You have the bracha, you have Berachos Shevach Ve'odah, like you praise Hashem for the lightning, for example. You have Berachos HaNenin, before you eat an apple, you make a bracha before you eat food. So what category is it, not a Berachos HaNenin, what category does Berachos Kriyashma fit into? Puts Machlokes in the Rishonim. The Rashba says it's a Berachos Shevach. After all, we have a typical formulation for Berachos HaMitzvah. We say, Asher Gashanu Mitzvosa V'tzivanu, that Hashem commanded us to do the mitzvah, and those words are absent the entire Berachos Kriyashma. So it appears that that this is not a Berachos HaMitzvah, because it doesn't say the typical formulation. The Ramban says, no, it isn't a Berachos HaMitzvah, but the Ramban says it depends, because they have a whole lot of brachos, so who says that they all fit into the same category? The Ramban says, Berachos HaMitzvah is a rule of Over L'Asiyasan to specifically say the bracha before the mitzvah, and so if you look, what's the bracha immediately before Kriyashma, that's probably your Berachos HaMitzvah. The Ramban says, therefore, Ava Rabba, Avas Olam, that's a Berachos HaMitzvah, but the other Berachos, Yotzer Or, Ma'avah Ravim, those are all Berachos HaShevach. This idea of Ava Rabba pottering your Berachos HaTorah, the next line of the Gemara. Let's read that next line. I remember Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Hishkim Lashanos, Achelo Kara Kriyashma, Sarich Levarich. The Gemara now transitions from Berachos Kriyashma into Berachos HaTorah. And it says, if you wake up to learn Torah before you said Kriyashma, then say a Berachos HaTorah. Pamishakara Kriyashma, Ein Tarech Levarich, Shekvar Niftar B'Yavah Rabba. That if you said Kriyashma with its brachos, and you didn't say Berachos HaTorah yet, then don't say Berachos HaTorah anymore, because you're pater from Berachos HaTorah with Ava Rabba. And Tosfos quotes from the Yerushalmi, that specifically if you learn immediately after you said Ava Rabba and Kriyashma, if you specifically learn afterwards, because this is not the typical Berachos HaTorah. Typical Berachos HaTorah, the Chazal told us which brachos to say. You don't have to learn necessarily immediately afterwards, says Tosfos, because it's clear. Those are the Berachos HaTorah that Chazal told us to say. If you're going to use Ava Rabba, which isn't the typical Berachos HaTorah, then you have to learn immediately afterwards to show, hey, I really have Kavana that this Ava Rabba should be Yotzei and be a kiyum of Merechos HaTorah. As Rashi points out, Ahava Rabbah is filled with inyanim relating to Talmud Torah. All talking about how we learn Torah, and so it makes sense that Ahava Rabbah should perhaps be a fulfillment of Berachas HaTorah if you forgot to say so. And it's an interesting application that the Kashag Lever Gaon in his Truvos Eretz Tvi says perhaps when is there a time we actually want to rely on this, that Ahava Rabbah can pater your Berachas HaTorah, who suggests a bar mitzvah boy. Bar mitzvah boy becomes bar mitzvah at nighttime, when he davens marv at shkia or tzeis, he becomes bar mitzvah. So let's say he's going to learn Torah later in that night. So did he say Berachas HaTorah yet? Yeah, he said it earlier in the morning, but he wasn't a gadol when he said Berachas HaTorah in the morning. He wasn't a chayav midoraisa in Torah in the morning. So he has this dirabanan Berachas HaTorah that he said when he woke up, but now he's a bar mitzvah boy, and he's going to want to learn Torah afterwards midoraisa. Should he make another Berachas HaTorah now for the Talmud Torah midoraisa he's going to say? So the Rav Chaim apparently wasn't so confident to say that he should say a second Berachas HaTorah, but perhaps have kavana at Maariv when you say Avas Olam, that should be a kiyum of Berachas HaTorah. You should use that as Berachas HaTorah. This way you can get out of any sfeikos you may have. The Gemara now continues, Amar Rav Huna, Lemikra Tzarech Lavarech, O Lemidrash, Ein Tzarech Lavarech. For Psukim, you need to make a Berachas HaTorah, but for Midrash, you do not. The next opinion of Lazar, Amar, Lemikra O Lemidrash Tzarech Lavarech, Lemishnah Ein Tzarech Lavarech. Next opinion is, yes, for Psukim and Midrashim, you do make Berachas HaTorah, but not for Mishnayos. Rav Yochanan Amar, Af Lemishnah Nami Tzarech Lavarech. Rav Yochanan says, yeah, even for Mishnayos, you make a Berachas HaTorah, Avala Talmud Ein Tzarech Lavarech, but not for Gemara. And then finally, Rava Amar, Af le Talmud Tzarech Levarich, even for Gemara, so for everything, for Psukim, Midrashim, Mishnayos, and Talmud, for all those who need to make a Berachas HaTorah beforehand, how do I know? Damar Rav Chiya Varashi, Zimnin Tzagiyin Hava Ka'emna Kamei De Rav, Lesnuye Pirkin Besifra De Bei Rav. Many times I was by Rav, and he was going to teach us Sifra De Bei Rav, perhaps some form of Gemara, and Makdim the Kamashi Yadeu Barich Umasnilan Pirkin. Before he taught us, he would always make a Berachas HaTorah. He should make Berachas HaTorah before any learning, even Gemara. So what are these brachos? My mevarich, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Asher Kasham Mitzvosa Vitzivanu, La Sok Vidivrei Torah. Hashem commanded us to be involved in Divrei Torah. Rabbi Yochanan Messiah and Bahachi. Harevna Hashem Lokenu as Divrei Sorasecha, Befinu Fios Amcha Beis Yisrael. Hashem should make the Torah sweet in our mouths and the mouths of Klal Yisrael. V'niya Anachnu B'tzatzaeinu B'tzatzaei Amcha Beis Yisrael, Kulanu Yodei Shemecha, Ve'oskei Sorasecha, Baruch Ata Hashem Amlamei Torah Li'amo Yisrael, that all of us and our descendants should know the Torah and learn the Torah, and Baruch Ata Hashem who teaches Klal Yisrael Torah. That's the second part of Berachas HaTorah. And then the third part, Rav Hamnuna Amar, Asher Barchabanu Mikol Amim, Vasalanu Es Torah. So Hashem chose us and gave us the Torah. Baruch Ata Hashem, Nosen HaTorah, Hashem who gave us the Torah. Amar Rav Hamnuna, Zohi Me'ula Sheber Brachos. That last one, Asher Barchabanu, is the best. But Hilkach, since you have so many good options, three different possible Berachos HaTorah, Leminu Lekulu, let's say all those, as we all know, that we say all three of those as part of our Berachos HaTorah. There are, just as we said, well, the interesting thing about Berachos HaTorah is that we know that the Rambam counts all Taryag Mitzvos. He goes through 1, 2, 3, all the way to 613 and lists all of them through. And then the Ramban says, hey, you forgot this one, you forgot that one, you forgot that one. So the Ramban, this is one of the on the Ramban's list of, hey, Rambam, you never counted the mitzvah midoraisa of reciting Berachos HaTorah. It's not in the Rambam's count. So why isn't it there? So perhaps the Rambam holds only a chiyum midrabanan. There isn't a chiyum midoraisa to recite Berachos HaTorah. Or perhaps when the Rambam counted Talmud Torah, that includes learning Torah and the brachos that preceded. But just as we said before, the Berachos Kriyashma could be a Berachos HaMitzvah or Berachos Shavach. So perhaps you can ask that same question about Berachos HaTorah as well. Which category? The most obvious would be it's a Berachos HaMitzvah because it's a mitzvah to learn Torah. So before the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, you should make a Berachos HaMitzvah, but the Ramban says maybe it's a Berachos HaShevach, because you're praising Hashem for giving us the Torah and for choosing us, perhaps the Berachos HaShevach. And the Levush and the stipler here in Maseches Brachos has a beautiful idea where he suggests perhaps it's a Berachos HaNen, Just as we get hana from eating an apple and make a bracha before the pleasure we get from eating food, so too we get pleasure from learning Torah. And the bracha before learning Torah is just like making a bracha before you enjoy food. You make a bracha before you enjoy the Torah. Rav Strombach takes it a step further and applies it perhaps even l'maisa and says, well, once you have these categories, so maybe some brachos fit in different categories. You have three different possibilities and three different brachos. So maybe the first baruch of Lasa with Vesora, that has the classic brachas mitzvah formulation of Asher Gashana Mitzvosa Vetzivanu. So perhaps that's a brachas mitzvah. The Harevna, Hashem make the Torah sweet, that could be a brachas hananin, perhaps, or perhaps a continuation of the brachas mitzvah. And then finally, Asher Bachar Banu, praising Hashem, a shevach, that Hashem chose us to give us the Torah. So perhaps they fit into different categories, and based on that, Rav Strombach says, perhaps women who aren't chayiv in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, they should just say the brachas shevach of Asher Bachar Banu when they say brachas the Torah, as opposed to any of the other brachos. Tosfos asks an important question also about why is it you only make one brachas Torah for the entire day? When you go into the sukkah, I guess as an example, every time I go into the sukkah, I make a new bracha. Why is it I don't make a new bracha every single time that I learn Torah? Why is one pater for the entire day? So Tosfos say, because it's a chiyuv of Talmud Torah every single second of our day. V'yigisa bo yomam v'layla. And even when you're not involved in Talmud Torah, you still have in the back of your head, lo miyayish daito. You never give up on the fact that you have to learn Torah later. It's always on your mind, if not actively, then passively. The Rush says we're always, even when we're out learning, we can't wait to go back to learn Torah afterwards. And Rav Soloveitchik had an interesting way of putting it. He said there's a difference between acute awareness and latent awareness. For example, a mother who is playing with her child, she has acute awareness of her child. She knows exactly where her child is at that moment because she's literally playing with her child. But let's say she's at the park and she's talking to another mother about something else and her child is all the way down the other side of the playground on the swings. Even then, she has latent awareness. In the back of her head, she knows exactly where her child is, and if something would happen, she knows exactly what to do and we go right away. So to us, if we're involved acutely in other things throughout our day, in the back of our heads, we always are still thinking about the Torah. Then Tosfos has one last point where it kind of goes off topic, but it's very interesting. And Tosfos asks, why isn't there a bracha on going to sleep in the sukkah? This is going to relate to practically to the bracha of Hamapil. Because Tosfos asks, why isn't there a bracha before you go to sleep in the sukkah? Just like there's a bracha every time you eat in the sukkah, why isn't there a bracha for sleeping in the sukkah? Tosfos gives two answers. Answer number one is, when you make a bracha on eating, that counts for sleeping also. But the interesting answer of Tosfos is, you may not fall asleep. You can't make a bracha of lishon basukkah, because what if I make a bracha, and then I can't fall asleep, and it's 2 hours to fall asleep, it'll end up being a bracha, livatala, therefore you can't make a bracha of lishon basukkah, of sleeping in the sukkah. Well, the Maariv Chayes asks, well, I make a bracha every night before I go to sleep. I make a hamapil before I go to sleep every single night. Why isn't it, if there's a concern of you may not fall asleep, then we shouldn't say hamapil ever? Why would a chazal mitake in hamapil? So the technical answer that Brachas Avram says is, well, there's a big difference between going to sleep in your comfy bed and going to sleep in the sukkah. In the sukkah, I'm definitely concerned I may not fall asleep because it's going to be really cold, or then it could be a squirrel that's going to run over me. So I'm nervous. I'm not going to fall asleep. But in my comfort of my own home, there you are going to fall asleep. There isn't as much of a concern. But the Maariv Chayes says that this explains a fundamental aspect of the bracha of hamapil. Maariv Chayes answers that yes, you're maybe concerned you may not fall asleep. That's true. But the bracha of hamapil isn't on your personal sleep. The bracha of hamapil is on the concept of sleep. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to go to sleep and wake up re-energized in the morning. So if I don't personally fall asleep, that's not a problem. I made the bracha of hamapil about the concept of falling asleep in general. Whereas the Mishnah Berurah seems to hold that the bracha of hamapil is really on my personal sleep. Right? Also, the brachos that talk about my personal sleep seems to actually be about me personally. And that can have other nafkamina. For example, can you have a hefsek before a bracha of hamapil? If it's about my sleep, then you shouldn't talk or eat or do other things or asher yatzar after your hamapil. But if it's about the concept of sleep, as the Maariv Chayes says, then perhaps you can have a hefsek and it would not be a problem. So we're going to stop here. The various things that we spoke about were the idea of eating before davening and having your feet together, and the Mishnah about the machlokes, Beishamai and Beishilo. Do Beishamai say you have to lay down at night for Kriyashma? You have to stand up during the morning for Kriyashma? Beishilo say no, you can do whatever you want. On Yad Aleph, we had the klal of the Osek B'mitzvah, Pater Minah Mitzvah. If you're doing one mitzvah, you're exempt from another mitzvah. And we had the, however, if I act like Beishamai, was I Yotze? Was I not Yotze? Was I Chayav Misa? And then we had the discussion about Birchos Kriya Shema from the Mishnah, which tells us the number of brachos. We began to explain the two brachos of Kriya Shema in the morning. We then transitioned to the Birchos HaTorah, which teaches the various Birchos HaTorah that we actually say every single day.